Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 1st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness, that you continue to protect us from all of the evil that surrounds, and you reveal to us the events that are taking place day by day. We come to you today asking that you would continue to guide us as we continue our study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today I'd like to share with you two articles from a website, and the name of the website is Advent Truth Ministries. That's Advent Truth Ministries, preparing people for Jesus' soon return. Let me give you the website again, Advent Truth Ministries, preparing people for Jesus' soon return. The writer of the article, the articles that I'm going to share with you today, and also the owner of the website, is Aubrey Duncan, and he has done some exceptional work with dealing with the combination of prophecy in the United States. And so today, the first article that I'd like to share with you is the one that was published on December the 8th, 2018, and the title of that article is The United States in Bible Prophecy. The United States in Bible Prophecy. Now, of course, there is another article that we will move on to, because this is a brief section of that article. So again, let me give you the website, Advent Truth Ministries, preparing people for Jesus' soon return. The writer of the article and the owner of the website, Aubrey Duncan, published December the 8th, 2018, and the title of the article, The United States in Bible Prophecy. Here's that article. The Bible has been remarkably accurate in prophesying the ruling powers of the earth. From the time of the Babylonian Empire to our present day, it boasts 100% accuracy rate in foretelling the nations that would rule supreme over the human family. Beginning with Babylon more than 600 years before the birth of Christ, those powers are undeniably identified in the historical record. They are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Imperial Rome, the Roman Papacy, and the United States of America. But many are wondering, yet speculating, who will be the next world superpower? Will it be China? Will Russia be next? Will Islam hold universal sway? Or is there another power that is masked, rising rapidly but stealthily on the horizon? How long will that next superpower reign? The book, The Great Controversy, gives some intriguingly fascinating and compelling answers to those and other questions confronting humanity today. This book, based on the Bible, prophecy, history, and contemporary world political religious affairs, takes an insightful look back at previous world powers and examines the state of the current world superpower, the United States of America. It identifies the next player rapidly rising over the horizon, explores its relationship with America, and reveals the kingdom that will ultimately rule the world. More importantly, it will prepare you for what is about to come upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Here's what the author, who has been described as the prestigious Smithsonian Institution as one of the 10 most influential religious leaders in America, has to say about her timely classic, Above Gold or Silver. The Great Controversy should be very widely circulated. It contains the story of the past, the present, and the future. In its outline of the closing scenes of this earth's history, it bears a powerful testimony in behalf of the truth. I am more anxious to see a wide circulation for this book than for any others I have written. For The Great Controversy, the last message of warning to the world is given more distinctly than in any of my other books. And of course, she wrote that in a letter in 1905. Then she continues to admonish, for some time, I have been strongly impressed that decided efforts should be put forth to proclaim the testing truths of the third angel's message in the city of Washington, the capital of the American nation. It is a sad thing that our record stands as it does, showing so little accomplished in this city. If there is any place in the world that should have the full rays of present truth, it is Washington, the city that is the very heart of this nation. Those who act in prominent part in framing laws for the nation should understand what is written in the law of God, which lies at the foundation of all right laws. And that's a quote taken from Review and Herald, July the 28th, 1903, paragraph 1. Universally, we are experiencing political, racial, gender, cultural, and ideological tensions rising at a feverish pitch. Civil discontent and popular unrest continue to characterize the state of the nations. Moral declension is at an all-time low. Earthquakes, severe storms of every sort and nature are occurring at a rapidly intensifying rate. And the questions remain, where do we go from here? Which way, America? Now, that's just a part of that article. And as I said before, the title of that article is The United States in Bible Prophecy. It's found in the Advent Truth Ministries, Preparing People for Jesus' Soon Return. That article is written by the owner of the website, Aubrey Duncan. Now, the reason why I gave you a brief profile of that article is because I want to take a hard look at another article, also written by Aubrey Duncan, also from the same website, Advent Truth Ministries, Preparing People for Jesus' Soon Return. This one was published on May the 4th, 2018, and the title of the article is Trump, Pence, Francis, and the Fulfillment of Bible Prophecy. Let me give you the title again. Trump, Pence, Francis, and the Fulfillment of Bible Prophecy. Here's that article. Contrary to the denial of leading theologians and Bible scholars, the United States is indeed figured prominently in Bible prophecy. In fact, she is rapidly fulfilling her prophetic role right before our eyes. The biblical book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, portrays the United States as a nation founded on the Christ-like principles of civil and religious liberty, and indeed, such has been its constitutional history. However, the Bible also predicts that the nation will one day move from its position of religious and political openness to one of religious intolerance and political repression. A state of tyranny and persecution will characterize her final moments on the world stage as she performs her final act in the drama of the ages. As hard as this may be for many to believe, we are rapidly entering into those dangerous prophetic waters. No one can deny that the vibrant and unflinching support of the religious right evangelical movement has made the election of Donald Trump possible. Mike Pence is perhaps the prime leader of this tightly organized, highly effective and powerful conglomerate. Without them, Donald Trump would have been a laughable footnote on the pages of American political history. But like everything political, there had to be a payback for their support. And paying back, he is forever doing. First, as he promised, he has seriously compromised and almost obliterated the Johnson Amendment, a law which severely limited his religious supporters from using their tax-free donations to endorse and support political candidates. He then nominated Neil Gorsuch, an ultra-conservative judge, to the Supreme Court, whose views are in tandem with the religious right on the issues of abortion and the misuse of the concept of religious liberty to achieve their aims of church-state union. Besides the appointment of Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, Donald Trump, under the advice and support of powerful far-right organizations such as the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, continues to appoint district judges who are determined to interpret the law in a manner that advances the agenda of the ultra-right ecumenical movement. Most recently, rather than heeding the advice of seasoned diplomatic advice and professional military counsel, the president pandered to his evangelical base and moved the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, setting off a series of events with potential catastrophic consequences. What may appear on the surface simply as a new wave of political activism by Trump supporters is the subtle yet rapid movement to take America back to the days of the Dark Ages. It's a movement that has been well established, funded and orchestrated by an elite corps of dedicated operatives whose focus to achieve their ends knows no boundaries. Frank Schaeffer Jr., a self-proclaimed founder and architect of the movement, gives us a glimpse of its agenda. Quote, "The ideological evangelical conservative Catholic extremism of Trump's Federalist Society Heritage Foundation appointments should alarm anyone not willing to live in what will amount to an American version of Iran. The nominees are deeply conservative and often unqualified. No one on the right cares about their lack of qualifications because they will reverse abortion rights, gay rights, voting rights, and affirmative action. Mr. Schaeffer has now left the movement and has dedicated his life to warning and educating the public about the ensuing dangers of this seemingly unstoppable juggernaut promising to make America great again." Billy Graham was both perceptive and right when he declared, "I don't want to see religious bigotry in any form. It would disturb me if there was a wedding between the religious fundamentalist and the political right. The hard right has no interest in religion except to manipulate it." And of course, he said that, that's Billy Graham said that in 1981. President Donald Trump, in his fervent desire to become the president of the land of the free and the home of the brave, passionately welcomed the support of the religious right, not quite being aware of their full and ultimate agenda. In his zeal, he accepted one of their own as his running mate, the man who stands a heartbeat away from taking his position. Now that his presidency is characterized by chaos, confusion, moral degeneracy, the departure of many Republican lawmakers, and a high possibility of impeachment, a Mike Pence presidency is becoming more likely as each day passes by and another injurious spectacle is revealed. Mike Pence, unlike the president he serves, has a squeaky clean public persona. None of the labels, charges, nor accusations by which Trump is branded can be accorded the evangelical Catholic vice president. But as a leader of the evangelical movement, he is infinitely more equipped to lead America along her destiny as outlined in Bible prophecy. Trump creates the confusion. Pence will provide the solution state sponsored religion. We are offered this chilling assessment of a possible Mike Pence presidency, which will be the precise fulfillment of John's prophecy. T.M. Harris, military officer and author, who sat on the tribunal that investigated the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, writes the following. "It is evident that a crisis is even now upon us, a crisis in which the world old contest between freedom and despotism is to be definitely and finally settled. This is an old fight. The cause of liberty seemed to have been achieved by the victory when our fathers or forefathers achieved their independence through a successful revolution, founded our government on the principles for the first time formally announced in our Declaration of Independence, securing to our people the natural rights of man, freedom of the mind and conscience, freedom of worship, and freedom of speech and of action, and protection exercise of these rights." And of course, you can find that written in Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, written by T.M. Harris. In this first-hand account, Harris not only warns the nation, but gives us clear insight into the nature of the beast that would render the American ideal null and void. One of the prime objectives of Pence and Company is mandated Sunday sacredness as part of their agenda to make everyone think, live, and worship like they do. This principle, in total opposition to the God of creation, whom they claim to serve and represent, is in perfect synchronization with the aims of the Roman papacy. Pope Francis, in promoting Sunday sacredness, which his church claims as their mark of ecclesiastical authority, declared, quote, "Sunday is a holy day for Christians, sanctified by the Eucharist celebration, the living presence of the Lord among us and for us. It is necessary to revive this awareness, to recover the meaning of the celebration, the meaning of the joy of the parish community, of solidarity, of the rest which restores body and soul." And of course, he said that into the general audience, December 13, 2017. This declaration is a total usurpation of the word of Creator God. It is yet another manifestation of the papal power fulfilling its prophetic role as foretold by both Daniel and John the Revelator. The United States is the papacy's prime supporter in its zeal to achieve domination of the world and imposition of its dogmas and doctrines upon all its inhabitants. Ellen G. White, famed 19th century Bible commentator, whom the Smithsonian rates as one of the 10 top religious figures in American history, remarked, quote, The Roman Church is far-reaching in her plans and modes of operation. She's employing every device to extend her influence and increase her power in preparation for a fierce and determined conflict to regain control of the world, to reestablish persecution, and to undo all that Protestantism has done. That's Great Controversy, page 565. Additionally, in his recent encyclical, Francis outlined what is believed to be the greatest challenges facing humanity, primarily capitalism and climate change. He then proposes a universal solution. He states, "The Eucharist joins heaven and earth. It embraces and penetrates all creation. The world which came forth from God's hand returns to him in blessed and undivided adoration. In the bread of the Eucharist, creation is projected towards divination, towards the holy wedding feast, toward unification with the Creator himself. Thus, the Eucharist is also a source of light and motivation for our concerns for the environment, directing us to be stewards of all creation. On Sunday, our participation in the Eucharist has special importance. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the new creation, whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity, the pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. It also proclaims man's eternal rest in God. The law of weekly rest forbade work on the seventh day, so that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your maidservant and the stranger may be refreshed. Rest opens our eyes to the larger picture and gives us renewed sensitivity to the rights of others. And so the day of rest, centered on the Eucharist, sheds its light on the whole week and motivates us to greater concern for nature and the poor." And of course, that is found in a section that was published on May the 24th, 2015. In calling upon the world to uplift Sunday, Francis and his church place themselves above Creator God, who declares, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And of course you'll find that at Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 through 11. Attempting to transfer the blessings of God's holy Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week, is blasphemy of the highest order. Offering to crucify our Savior over and over and over again in place of recognizing his one sacrifice on Calvary's cross will never lead to peace, unity, and prosperity. This combination, Sunday sacredness, coupled with the requirement to continually crucify Jesus Christ, will result only in the institution of a regime which, while promising to bring about unity and world peace, will bring to pass a level of despotism, tyranny, persecution never before experienced in the annals of human history. John predicts that a conflict of apocalyptic proportions will ensue. The nations of the world, spearheaded by America, under the direction of the Roman papacy, will legislate and force all inhabitants of the earth to honor Sunday rather than freely, under the dictates of one's own conscience, observe God's holy Sabbath day. Donald Trump's treasonous performance, as many believe, with America's formidable foe, Vladimir Putin, heralded calls from many, even of his own party, for his impeachment. His continuous disregard for the rule of law has ultimately led to articles of impeachment being filed against him for his appeal to the Ukrainian government to meddle in the 2020 U.S. election. Regardless of what happens to Trump, whether he is replaced by Pence or not, Francis is ensuring that, conscientiously or unconscientiously, America and his papacy are fulfilling their roles in Bible prophecy. Question is, are you ready for what is about to come upon this world as an overwhelming surprise? Now, that's the end of the article. And, of course, let me just tell you again, the article was found, that second article was written in the Advent Truth Ministries website, the Advent Truth Ministries, preparing people for Jesus' soon return. The writer of that article, Aubrey Duncan, published on May the 4th, 2018, and the title, Trump, Pence, Francis, and the Fulfillment of Bible Prophecy. God has given us his word. He has told us all of what we see happening around us long ago. You and I have every opportunity to be ready for what is coming. Today, place yourself in God's hand so that he might correct those things within us that need correction. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide, that you continue to lead, that you continue to inform us. We ask that you would give us the strength necessary to trust you implicitly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, February the 1st, 2020.